Hey, it's David and Jen. We are getting going to start here in just a second with our webinar that we're doing today. It's a presentation really about how we came to the sale of a business that really I was told couldn't be sold. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And you can see here on the main slide on the screen, this is about creating a legacy business to sell or pass on to family members. So I've got multiple screens here. My slides are over here, so I'll look over here occasionally. Jennifer's over here, so we'll look over here occasionally. I've got another screen here in front of me, so we might look here a little bit too. So Jen, glad you're here. Glad you own the business.
Yeah, I know you are.
Although retirement's not all it's kicked up to be, cracked up to be right now, because I don't seem to be all that retired at the moment, because you just went through a big launch I helped you with. And I got this as part of our year-long transition that we've been talking about as well. So what we're going to do today through this webinar is really just talk about, it goes back 10 years. It really goes back 10 years to the planning for this activity to happen. And unfortunately, my internet's pretty bad today, so I may have to turn off my camera at some point. So let me know if you can hear and see us okay in the chat here, just to make sure that everything's good and that our image is okay, the slides are okay. Just let me know. Okay, good, 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 good. Thanks. Okay, great.
Yeah, you tend to do, but your internet tends to like GoToWebinar better. So I don't know
Yeah,
why.
better than Zoom, I know. That's good. I'm glad to hear it. Okay, so I think what we're going to do, this is going to be a conversation more than anything. I've got six slides, and Jennifer and I are just going to kind of like relive what we've gone through over the last 10 years, with a heavy emphasis on the last 2 months. Well, the last 2 months of 2022. What happened was, on December 31st, midnight, the transition happened from NAMS Inc., owned by David and Charles Perdue, to NAMS Inc., owned by Jennifer Perdue. Now, that gives you a clue right there. We're going to talk about that as well, because this made it very, very easy for this transition to happen. And I'm just going to jump in here, Jen, and basically say that about 10 years ago, I had a business coach that I love, still love. And he is still somebody I reach out to occasionally. And he said, he asked me basically, what's the goal of your business? And I said, well, I want to build a business that has enough substance, enough courses, enough everything in it, that we can have an asset that we sell, and I can retire from that asset. And he said, yeah, it can't be done. You're in an IM world. You're building things that are going to change a lot over time, and it's just not practical for you to think that this is the kind of business that you can actually sell to somebody else. So what did I do? I looked for some advice elsewhere as well. So I actually knew that what we needed to do was not typical of what other online businesses were doing. 10 years ago, we were in the middle of our NAMS workshops, which we had created as online workshop, or not online, in-person workshops. And about 10 years ago is when you came on, right, Jen? About 2012?
Yeah, I started in 2011 a part-time, and then I came on full-time in 2015.
Okay, so that gets to this. So the setup for this entire business. Now remember, I've been focusing on, and people would never have known this because it wasn't really something that I was talking about all that much, was I was focused on building an asset that I could sell at some point. At one point, I talked to a partner of Jen's, somebody that she was working with in another company. And at that time, I really had an idea of selling this whole thing for $1 million. And a lot of folks were telling me that that was possible to do, to get that kind of money based on the revenue that we had. Hold on a second. I had to close the door because the dog was running around out here. So the key to that was creating a brand. NAMS was a brand. Novice to Advanced Marketing System was a brand that we built with the workshops. We built a massive community with the workshops. We did 14 live workshops. Then what we realized we needed to do was create a membership in addition to the workshops, so that we had ongoing revenue, not just revenue that we generated twice a year. And so we wanted to create the membership to create the ongoing revenue, which created the value of the business. And the third thing was that I got Jen involved in this. And Jen, talk a little bit about how you got involved here and what you brought to the table.
Yeah, so I came from 20 years of operations experience in the outdoor rec business. And so, I already had the customer service I actually was in charge of building out all the customer service. I did all the employee training and I did logistics. And so, you know, if any of you have ever gone on a whitewater rafting trip somewhere, you see all the moving pieces that have to happen, right? So that's what I was in charge of. And, you know, I was putting 1,000 people a day down the river and bringing them home safely. And so it really kind of, although I wasn't a lot of marketing, didn't do a lot of marketing, I was very much involved with the customers face-to-face, involved with the staff, involved with a lot of the systems that we had to set up and the SOPs and things like that. Because as you can imagine, in that industry, there's a ton of insurance regulations, a ton of things that you have to be on top of. So really, you know, when Dad contacted me about helping, and I was, you know, at that point wanting to move on. And when he contacted me about helping, it was really because the business had started to grow so quickly that he needed those specific aspects covered in the business, especially the support desk, you know, and creating those SOPs and creating the documentation and the systems. And so that's really where I excelled, was doing that. And so I was in the background for a very long time here. You know, I can remember in probably 2015, Dad, you like forcing me and saying, you have to get on the camera. You can't just show up at the meetings, yep, keep your camera off. You have to start engaging face to face with people.
Well, I forced a lot of things. And I wanted to talk about that because by about 2015, you'd been doing part-time and you were doing service work and everything. And you had indicated that you really liked the business. And people really liked you and you, so it wasn't something I was going to force on you to take this business over. Right. I was really getting this business ready to sell to somebody else. But you indicated that you really liked this business. And as we got further and further into the process, you said you wanted the business. And so then we started working toward you taking over the business at some point, buying the business essentially. And you mentioned two things that were really important. The first was, the SOPs, because you were really in charge of figuring out what the processes were, documenting the processes, making sure that our team that we had revolving door on the team for a long period of time. And it was important for that team to be able to have training in place so that they could do things the same way over and over and over. The second thing was that this is where I forced you. When it came to being full-time, I said, okay, if you're going to come on full-time, you're going to be our Facebook ads queen. Do you remember that? And so in 2015, you said, I don't know anything about Facebook ads. I don't know anything about the marketing piece. And I said, yeah, but you like data. So I want you to go become the data automation Facebook ads person. And from 2015 to about 2018, I would say we got pretty heavy in Facebook advertising and grew our list substantially. We tripled it in just about 18 months to a pretty good sized list. And we did the Facebook advertising when the Facebook advertising was pretty easy to get a good ROI. And we were getting a break even point with people at about 14 days. And so that was working out really well. And you were learning a ton about funnels and conversions and all the pieces of the marketing that went into the back end of all that. And I knew enough to be dangerous in that, but I really wanted you to become the expert in that, right?
Right.
And
right.
So it wasn't like I needed to know everything. The next thing that happened, though, that was really important. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not showing you the slides here. So.
And while you're getting your slides going, let me say that an SOP is a standard operating document.
Yeah. Standard operating procedures is what it is.
Documentation. Yeah. Documentation.
And so we did branding. We got Jen involved. But the other thing that was really important, and I did this from 2009, was I incorporated the business. And the reason I incorporated the business was because I got good advice from an accountant and I got good advice from an attorney. And then I went out and did the incorporation through a company called Biz Filing. So for less than $500, we incorporated the entire thing as Niche Affiliate Marketing Systems Incorporated. And in 2014, I did a rename of the company, which was just different documentation filing of Niche Affiliate Marketing System to Novice to Advanced Marketing System, same acronym. And it became NAMS instead of Novice to Advanced Marketing System, Inc. It became NAMS, Inc. So we went with the acronym only. Now, the reason that's so important is because it set up an easy transfer of the business on the sale. Okay, so we're going to get to that in a minute. At this time, about 2014, 2015, I got really hooked on this, Built to Sell. This was a book and a podcast by a guy named John Warlow out of Canada. John Warlow, every week, and still does, I believe, does an interview with somebody who sold their business. And they talk about what the business selling process was. I listened to probably 3 years of these as over a period of time. And I learned a ton about business valuations, business, the standard operating procedures turns out to be one of the keys to having a higher valuation of your company. So if you've got standard operating procedures in place and you have it incorporated and you have team in place that works without you, then you've got an asset that you can actually start to think about passing off. So I did all of that through this book. I read that book, I dog-eared this book, I listened to the podcast, I did all those things. I took the assessment on their website, which was a free assessment, and I learned about some things that we could do better in our business, not just on our website, but in our business to create a more viable business. After this book came out, about 2018 maybe, he came out with this book, same guy, and The Automatic Customer. And it was interesting, in this book he said, I covered a subscription-based business in Built to Sell as one of the chapters. He said, if I were doing it today, I would throw everything else away in that book and focus. In fact, I did focus on subscription-based business because the subscription-based business is where real valuation happens in a business. And so that's the reason recurring income and subscription basis, even if it's a fixed term or a one-time payment, is still important because you've got a membership base that is has a value. So your asset is the membership or the community that you have. You have two levels of members or two levels of list, let's say. The first is you're engaged and the second is you're non-engaged. The engaged has a really high customer value. And I think at that time ours was like $200 customer value. The non-engaged has a really low customer because they just pop in and out. Our insiders would have a customer value of over $1,000, $1,500. And so that was a great way for us to set all of this up. Okay, so the automatic customer then became the Bible for creating a business that had greater value. All right, so
I want to say too,
at this point, this really affects you. We started focusing on how to build recurring revenue.
And this is when I decided we were still doing Facebook advertising. After you read this book and you came to me with kind of all the principles and the concepts of it, I said to you, okay, if you want this done, we want to build a very automated, scalable business, I need 30 days. You can't talk to me. You can't ask me for anything, nothing. Everybody has to leave me alone for 30 days. And we had to plan for that. And in that 30-day period, what I did was I got into our CRM, which is a customer relationship management software, also can be called an autoresponder. We use Infusionsoft, which has been renamed to Keep. Another example would be ActiveCampaign is a CRM, ConvertKit is a CRM. AWeber is an autoresponder kind of hybrid. And so what I did was I learned the insides and outs of the program. And I already knew it, but I only knew the pieces I was having to use every day. I wasn't building out these automated campaigns that would continue to run all the time to deal with this influx of customers that we were getting from our Facebook advertising and from our list building effort. So in that 30-day period, I completely built, you know, what we call it the brain. And what it does is it's just constantly looking at activities that people are doing in the system so that we can present the right opportunities and the right content and the right products to them when they need them. And so that was a huge piece of this, which also made a really high value for the company because, you know, for somebody who wants to come in and build a business or buy a business, they want to know that there's going to be things that are operating in the background while they are getting their feet under them, you know, from just buying the business, that there's revenue that's still going to generate from the recurring and from the automation that is set up in the back end. So that was an important piece there as well.
So another important piece at the very same time that she's doing that was for, in fact, it was just a little bit before that I started this, was after reading this book, Automated Customer, and one of the things that really emphasized and built a cell, things that they realized was what sets you apart? What is your differentiator, right? What makes you unique in this world that you're in? And a lot of people have training. A lot of people have specific training, but most folks were selling that training as one-offs, right? We started building out the back end of the membership site so that it was more like a library. In fact, we called it the public library for a long time. We used that analogy. It was like a public library where when you needed something on algebra, you went and you pulled off the algebra. When you needed something on great literature, you went and pulled off great literature. Well, in this case, when you needed something on keywords, you pulled off the keyword training. And if you needed something on blogging, you pulled off the blogging training. And so we made the membership all encompassing as much as possible. In fact, we went way too far on that and ended up with, I think we had at one point 457 products. And we did a big retirement sale, reduced that down to 50. And I think we're back up to about 100 now.
Yeah.
But the differentiator, Jen, was our software, because we're building software and making it part of the membership so that people had access to all of the plugins that we're building for WordPress. And those plugins were Simple Click Tracker, Simple Video Management System. We built a Simple Auto Webinar System that went with the Simple Video Management System. We had a Simple Click Down Countdown Timer, Countdown Creator, SCC, Simple Countdown Creator, which we pretty much have let slide to the side. There are other better tools than that one out there, but we wanted ours to be the best in class. So we focused on the best in class. Then we came up with an X Brander, which we're still working on. It's a complicated tool. And we came up with Simple Affiliate Tools, which is brand new and going to be released soon. So we now have this set of proprietary tools that we have built that are our own tools that we use that run our business, but also that we sell and give to Insider Club members so that they, we do it for a reason, because when you're an Insider Club member and you're using our tools, you got to be an Insider Club member to continue to use those, or you have to buy those tools. So that was good for us because it was a differentiator, but also good for us because it was a barrier to access. So one other thing that we did was we added Beaver Builder. And Beaver Builder is a third-party tool. We decided to license that from that company with two other template-making companies. So we had Beaver Builder, which was a WordPress page maker, and gave that to insiders as well. So now we've got people embedded with Beaver Builder, the Beaver Builder templates, the software, and the training. So we have a convergence happening of technology and training. And so that's made a bit of a company that's pretty unique in that space. All right, so go ahead.
Well, the other thing that we did when we built out that membership, which added huge value, and our partners even were coming in and saying, and I say partners, I mean our affiliate partners and people that we work with on a regular basis that do training for us. We decided, instead of offering everything, instead of offering all the free tools outside of the membership, we decided everyone was going to have a membership, a login, a username and a password, and they can have a free level of the membership where they've never bought anything from us before, or they can have a paid level. And what we did was we took every piece of free content that we produce, every lead magnet, every free training, all of our magazines, everything that is free that people opt in for, we moved that into the members area. And what that did was it moved people who had never purchased before, it moved them into an area where they could see everything else that we offered in an easy, simple, searchable way. And so it turned a product delivery platform into a revenue center. And that's always what the goal is. You want your help desk to be a revenue center. You want your membership area to be a revenue center. So that membership site is also incredibly monetized because it's got all of the tools that we recommend in there from other, I mean, you don't know how many tickets we get every day. I'm looking for a designer, a graphics designer product. What do you recommend? So we took all of those top products that people were asking us about, and we created a resources page there where we direct all of our traffic so that people can go and get the information and get, in a lot of cases, get demos that we do on those tools that then monetizes that area of the work of the membership, which for somebody else, if it wasn't me that had bought the business, they would come in and look at it and say, oh my gosh, look at the monetization opportunities that are automatically built in to the membership site. So that was an important piece as well.
Yeah, and since we're still talking about setting up the asset, which is the company, we're talking about setting up the asset. You got to realize this NAMS started as something else at about 2005. The very first product was significant product was something called Niche Widget. It was a little widget, a flash widget that went into the side of a website and would sell products that you had, and it would just display those products. And that lasted for a couple of years. And then Flash became a tool that nobody would use. And then it was. So anyway, my point is that we just kept growing. I'm a big vision guy. That was me. I knew always what I wanted to see and what I wanted to have. I'm not a detail implementation person. Jennifer is. And so I was able to actually go to Jen and say, here are the things we want to do. And I showed her this map when we first got started that was like my version of her brain that she was building. And so that gave her the idea for where we were going with the brain. And so as we build over 15 years, this asset that is NAMS, we go through different phases with it, right? When I stopped, Jim Edwards was a keynote speaker at our last workshop. And I told Jim this was going to be our last workshop. We weren't going to do any more live workshops. He said, you're crazy not to do more live workshops. NAMS is a great brand. You've got a great event going on and it's a great brand. He said, this has really taken the place of the big seminar and those other ones that are out there. I said, yeah, but it's not going to lead me where I need to be. The NAMS events were not helping us build the asset, the background, the way I wanted it to. So we wanted to focus on the membership and doing virtual training versus the live event. So anyway, that's what we did over the 15 years, just building that asset out. Now, next we come to the actual transition stuff that I want to talk about, Jen. I think we're going to move right in. You got something else?
Yeah, there's one other piece though to this that I think is really important about the process before we get to the transition. So here I am where I'm like gung ho. I mean, we know I'm going to buy this business. We've been talking about it. We're prepared to buy this business. And in 2019, my husband was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I got to a point for a while that I said to Dad, I said, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know what that we didn't know. We didn't know really what his prognosis was going to be. You know, initially they'd given him less than 12 months to live. He lived for 2.5 years after that, and he passed away in 2021. And I mean, leading up to this, I couldn't even, Dad would say to me sometimes, you want to talk about it? And I'm like, I can't even talk about it. It's like the idea, the stress of everything, the idea of going through all of that and trying to mentally then think about having to buy this business and what it was going to take was just too much. I was at a point, if you remember that in 2021, after Rick passed away, that I even said, I don't know if I can do this. And right. And you said, let's take a step back for a few minutes. We took a step back for 4 or 5 months and just let me kind of get back into the swing of things. And really at the end of 2021, is when I was able to come back to you and say, okay, I think that I can do this. I think that we can continue on the trajectory that we were on at that point.
Right, right. The other thing that's important to know in there is that you took 6 months off mm-hmm. when it really got down to the wire with Rick. And that six months that you took off, the business continued to operate, but it took about 4 people to replace you. And so, and then things were falling through the cracks. So it was really important. We knew what a big piece of the business you were at that point. And we wanted to make sure that everything was still working as it needed to work as you went forward. So, right. Okay. So ready to talk about timeline?
Yep.
A little more. So we've led up. We've got a good brand. We've got a good asset in place. I'm getting old. So those 3 things really made me think I'm ready to retire. And so I was tired. But I also am pretty energetic for the age that I am. And I really love doing what we do. But when it came to this, I think it was like September of last year, because I've been saying all along, all year long, we're going to, you know, 12/31 is going to be our date. And we're going to flip this on 12/31.
And I didn't believe him.
You didn't believe me. And so in September, Jennifer said, are you serious about December 31 being the transition date? And I said, like a heart attack. I am as serious as a heart attack. We are going to do this, or it's not going to, I'm not going to continue with it. We're going to continue doing this if you take the business over, because I wanted to retire. Now, retirement for me didn't mean going away. Retirement for me meant that I wanted to have time to write. I'm a writer, been a writer all my life. I wanted to write more. I wanted to do more photography. I want to do more travel. I've been a photographer. I wanted to do more travel as well. So I had things I wanted to do. And I want to do things around the house. So I want to do things with my wife. And so we had lots that we wanted to do. So the plan is in place for me to retire no matter what. So I turned 70 in October, told Jennifer that on 12/31, it's yours if you want it. Then we had to come to an agreement. So we had to agree on what the price was. Oops, I'm too far ahead. I can go back. We had to come to an agreement on the price. That was the first thing. And after talking to the accountant and talking to Jen and talking to my wife and all of this, what we did was come up with a number that we wanted to have every month. I didn't want to, and because it was Jen, I wasn't out there looking for millions of dollars, right? What I really wanted was 10 years. So we came up with a price that could be spread over 10 years, and it would be enough money for us to have a comfortable living. We came to a reduced price, but something that was easy for her to consume and feel comfortable with taking over the business. And I didn't want I didn't want it all in one lump sum. I didn't want her to go get a loan on the house and give me one lump sum. I wanted her to pay me every week. And so every week I get a check. And that's retirement to me is, I remember Alan Bechtold said, retirement is basically just getting a check for something you want to do every week. And so that's what I do. I get a check. So we agreed on the price. That was the first thing. So when we agreed on the price and we'd agreed on a date, then stuff started falling into place. So we had a lot to do at that point. Now, I talked to my accountant. It's the same accountant I've used forever. And he said, okay, you want everything to end on 12/31 midnight. That's when you want to make the transition so that you have a very clean tax year cutoff. And so I told Jen, that's when we're going to do all the transition on this. And so that was our end date. And just like every other project that we do, we started backing up from the end date. And so Jennifer, tell the truth, I didn't have to consult with a lawyer. Anybody should consult with a lawyer, but what I did was go to Rocket Lawyer. It cost me $39 for 1 month membership. I created a sales agreement using their lawyers there and the documentation there. I ran that by Jennifer. I sent it, we did consult our lawyer. I sent that to our attorney who set up our family trust 3 years ago. So my wife and I have a family trust that owns all of the shares of NAM, right? So she had 50%, I had 50%, they all came into the family trust. And what we ended up doing was the week before Christmas, we had a corporate board meeting. My wife and I, the only board members. We had a corporate board meeting, just happened to be in Williamsburg, Virginia, when we were on vacation, because I've got a smart accountant. And we did a corporate resolution to transfer all stock, 100% of the stock, to Jennifer at midnight on 12/31. And
well,
so,
no, actually, it didn't work. We didn't do that.
No, we transferred it that day to Jennifer, with all financial responsibility transferring over on 12/31. That's what it was. So we had to do that because, Jennifer, you want to say why?
Yeah. So what our goal was is that we also knew that the business bank accounts, I needed the new business bank accounts to be here in Tennessee. They were in Alabama and I needed a bank here. And so what we didn't want was a lapse in our credit card processing, our PayPal processing, Stripe processing, all of that. And so when I went, so I did a bunch of research and I found my personal bank that I've used for 20 years didn't do corporate banking. I was with a credit union or am with a credit union. And so I did a bunch of research and I found the bank that I decided to go with had really high ratings in the state of Tennessee. And so I went to my local branch here, told them what was happening and that I was going to be buying the business. I needed to set up business checking accounts and what was the process? And they said, well, we can't really open a business account in your name until you own something, you have something. So we decided on December 14th to transfer all of the stock into my name. So we did a stockholder transfer on the 14th so that I could then take the stockholder transfer document that showed that I own 100% of the stock to the bank, which then allowed me to set up all of the business checking and to move everything over.
So I want to talk about this for a second because this is a really, really, really important point. People ask me all the time, well, should I incorporate or not incorporate? And we always give some wishy-washy answer about, well, it really depends on your situation. There's a lot of benefits to incorporating. Like I've noticed a ton of benefits now that I'm not incorporated that we no longer have. Like expenses don't come out pre-tax, they come out post-tax. And so there's all of that. But the big one, the big benefit was selling this business required no closing, none of that stuff that goes into like a house sale. It was just a stock transfer with a corporate resolution. So we were able to, I mean, it was like we did the deal with the corporate resolution. My wife and I signed it. We faxed it to Jennifer. She went to the bank. She's the owner. That's it. And I don't even think we had the sales agreement done at that point. That came later.
Right. That didn't actually occur. We didn't do the actual sale agreement transfer until the 31st or the 1st.
That's right. So we've done all the consults with the accountant, the lawyer, the bank, the corporate resolution to transfer the stock. And then we worked with our bookkeeper. We had a bookkeeper that was going to, Jennifer was going to use the same bookkeeper that we were using. So she then moved all of the bookkeeping accounts from my bank accounts and PayPal and all of that stuff into Jennifer. So one of the things that was really important about the smooth transition of this was I no longer own the email that I had. I don't own David at Maximize Communications. I don't own David at MyNams.com. Any of those emails associated with the business, Jennifer owns those. She's now getting a gazillion emails from different email sources. But the reason for that is she also is the primary now because she kept the emails and the employee identification number, the tax ID, for the business. All of that transferred to her, so PayPal didn't change, Stripe didn't change, platforms didn't change. All she had to do was go into those platforms, and I had to do some of that as well to change her over, to change it over to her. So we, you know how hard it is to get a PayPal account, that you have to go through the hoops. I had to get my own PayPal account after this, and I'm still probationary. So anyway, my point is she wanted to keep all of that stuff intact, including, I mean, just think if you got a new PayPal account, you'd have to get new recurring subscriptions, all that stuff. But we want to make sure all of that was smooth. And well, that all worked with the bookkeeper.
It was really important because we had a 15-year history with PayPal. Some of our credit card processing happens with them. You know, we have a line of credit through there. Those are the things that we wanted to keep in place because we had such a good vendor reputation. The platforms that we sell on, Warrior Plus, JVZoo, Hey Kickstart, all of those, all I did was reach out to, and I mean, luckily for me, I'm also friends with the presidents and owners of those companies and was able to reach out to them and say, and they knew, and say, hey, I need to change the ownership. I need to change the email address. I need to change the name. The smartest thing that Dad did, and I don't think I've even told you this, so I'm giving you some credit here, was when you set the accounts up, you set them up as NAMS Inc. You did not set them up as personal accounts. So it was very easy for me to go in, and all I had to do for Stripe, for example, was I went in to verify my identity there. I just send my driver's license. I had to send a copy of the shareholder resolution that showed that the shares were passed to me and that I was now 100% shareholder of the company. And so it was so nice because I didn't have to go in and change affiliate accounts, IDs. I didn't have to get any of that new stuff. I didn't have to change any of our credit card processing or any of that. It was just a matter of changing the contact information on these platforms that we've been using to both sell and to deliver our content.
So the next thing I did was I made a trip to the bank on the 31st. I closed bank accounts, I closed credit cards that were tied to NAMS. I learned a lesson, by the way, with American Express. I thought this would be easy. I'll just report these cards as lost and get new numbers, and you'll have to put new numbers on everything. With American Express, that's not true. They actually pass through anything that was on your old number to the new number. So I had to go through and cancel a lot of things as well. But that's another good thing to mention here, is this was an opportunity for Jennifer and I both to really go through the entire system and cancel everything and just add back what was essential. As you guys know, as an online business, you end up subscribing to things you really don't need, can't figure out where you, how to get out of them. Oh, it's only $7. Why, you know, I'm not going to mess with it. But this was an opportunity for us really to cancel everything and just add stuff back. So Jennifer was able to reduce expenses in the first month by 9,000, you said?
7,000.
7,000. That's pretty awesome. Okay. So let's see. We started the transfer processes. We introduced, this was a big one. So I had a ton of affiliate relationships. I was the manager of the relation. All of the JV relationships we had, all the affiliate stuff that we did, I managed all of that. And what I had to do was introduce Jennifer to all these people because she needed to build these. So I spent a lot of time sending out messages in two-person or three-person groups. And it would be, Pat, here's Jennifer. She's taken over the business. I'm retiring. And people would be really welcoming to me. They'd say, congratulations about retiring. And by the way, your daughter's taking over. This never happened. So this was kind of blowing people's minds that we were able to make. And I truly don't know of another business out there where it has passed from one generation to the next generation in the online world. The online world is just too young for that. So let's see. So we did a lot of that. We spent a lot of time doing that. Then we had a communication plan. And the communication plan was to really start easing it into the members and into our entire list, what was happening, when it was going to happen, what the expectation was going to be, how it was going to change the company, and how it was going to change their relationship with us, and that I was going to be around, but in the background, Jennifer's been driving for a long time, whether you knew that or not. And so that was the other thing. Over the past year, Jennifer's been coming to the front more and more and more and more, so that when the transition actually happened, people weren't shocked, right? That was the key to this whole thing.
The other thing we did that was really important was every year in December, we run a promotion called December Deals. And during the month of December, I actually was doing all of the kind of the JV updates, doing all of the emails. I was writing all of the emails and sending all of the emails in December, even though they had Dad's name on them. It was me kind of working through and into my voice to make that transition into my voice and how we communicated with everybody. So I'd still run them by him because his name was on them. But I mean, finally, by like the middle of the month, you were like, don't even show him to me, just send the email. And but I was doing the communication with the JVs in the December deals promotion to make sure that they were starting to know who I was and that they could reach out to me for communication, which is huge for what happened in January.
And what I did also, when people reached out to me, they would reach out to me and say, David, I got this coming up. And I would say, I'm retired. You need to talk to Jennifer. And so I would send that over to Jen, or say, I am retiring. You need to talk to Jen. I was really putting a spotlight on her to make sure that everybody understood what was coming.
The other thing that we did too, Dad, that was real important in this is that in 2022, I became the decision-making process that was happening in the business. You were including me more in, knowing that we were going to be moving over to the transition in 2023 and that I was going to own it. All of a sudden, any big decisions that needed to be made, we were now talking about them and I was giving input, like not just here as an employee, here's what I think. It was as the business owner in 2023, I don't want that responsibility, or right. I do want to do that. So we also did that during the entire year to make sure that I wasn't setting it. We weren't setting anything up that I didn't want in the business moving forward.
That's right. And the other thing that we did along those same lines is that we talked about what your vision for the business was, so that we made sure. And I mean, I have some experience in that, and I was able to actually help you understand, you know, what was going to be difficult, what was going to work. I pointed you to a new business coach so that you could get some guidance along the way that's different from me. And so it was really important to do all of that as well, I think. Mm-hmm. So we're coming down to the wire here. I think the communication with everybody, including affiliates, members, community at large, Facebook. I was part of a couple of big Skype groups, and I introduced Jennifer to the Skype groups. Then I bailed out of those. If they wanted to talk to NAMS, they had to talk to Jen. So I actually closed my Skype account. I don't use Skype anymore. One reason is because I was getting so many spam calls from Skype. But the other reason is I didn't want to be in the way of that. So we did that. So the last thing that I wanted to talk about, I think, is the transition assistance. So I told Jen, it's like I got 3 months of projects that I need to complete. I have responsibility for getting the software launches in place for the rest of the year. And my goal is to do like 10 hours a week for the rest of the year. I think I did 60 last week. But anyway, Jennifer did her first launch and she realized, I think that what was really funny was like second week of this whole thing. We were talking on Zoom, Jennifer and I were talking on Zoom, and my wife was sitting over there and Jennifer said, "How did you get all of this done? I am so stressed and so stretched with all of this." And I said, "Yeah, well, there's a lot to do in this business, but what you realize is you have to get help. You get as much help as you can, as often as you can." And so what she's learning in this transition period is somebody else can do. And so that's really important for her to understand, for us to really focus on going forward.
Yeah, and that was a big piece of this, because we went from having two of us, you and me, running everything to just being me and I not having a me. And so, you know, I quickly created a big, big goal for me this year is to actually bring on a CMO for the company, because we have to have somebody else who can be a senior level person that can make some decisions, that's not, you know, just a virtual assistant. I don't mean just a virtual assistant, but I mean, all of the people on my team are very specific in what they do. And so I don't have an operations CMO style person, which is what I was. So that became very real, and it became real fast as I started doing this. It was funny, the first couple of days of the transition in January, I'm like, man, I hadn't heard from Dad. And like, finally, I'm like, day two, he finally called me and I was like, it's 1 o'clock. I wondered, we're now like 36 hours in and we haven't talked. And we normally talk 5 times a day and we haven't talked.
Well, and for 10 years, we've talked every morning. So,
right. So the other thing, too, are you going to talk about the transition period?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So this is actually in our sales agreement, and this was important because I was scared, y'all. I mean, you know, it was scary to buy a business, right? And so it is in our contract that that he remains as an advisor and mentor for 12 months, for the first 12 months. And at the end of the 12-month period, I can actually say, take it back and find somebody
That's
else.
In there.
Show is. It is.
I think it is. I have to look again.
Might have to reread your contract. And so, you know, I am even at the point right now where I am enjoying what I'm doing enough that I don't think that would ever occur. But so yeah, that was our return policy there, Dad. So go ahead.
I don't think so.
You have another slide?
The last slide is about the Insiders Club. And okay. I just want my first question. Do you want to say something before we get there?
I do, because I kind of want to talk about what happened in January because of what this, of how we kind of structured all this. So, you know, January 1st happened and, you know, I still have to be sure that I'm making money in this business. And I made a couple of critical errors in January that I learned from. But at the same time, because we had spent so much time building relationships with our partners, I walked into January. I was on 5 affiliate contest leaderboards in the month of January. I also learned about cash flow and I knew about cash flow. I mean, it's not like I didn't learn about cash flow. The data was managed, the cash flow. You know, I knew what we had coming in, but I never really knew exactly.
Well, I always came to you for cash flow information because I was training you to go through the bank accounts and to look at everything.
Right. But I never truly knew like the realm of all of the expenses that were going out. And so one of the things I did in the very beginning was I actually put every single expense that we had on my Google Calendar. I mean, it was tedious. It took me 3 days to go through all of our credit card statements, all of the bank account statements, all of the PayPal statements, to look at every expense that we had, and I put it on my calendar. And as I pay those bills, I mark them as paid on my calendar. And it helped me to realize, so what I do every Sunday now is I look at what the next 7 days expenses are going to be, look at what our incoming cash flow projections are going to be, I look at what our accounts receivables are, and it helps me to make sure that I'm staying on track with cash. And the critical error I made was I jumped in on a couple of really good product promotions in early in January that I did really well on. And it generated about $12,000 in revenue, but it wasn't $12,000 in cash. It was net 30 kind of promotion, which is great.
Like net 45.
Right. Yeah. And it was great because it set me up for February into knowing that, you know, I had almost half my nut covered with just the accounts payables that I already had sold. But what it did was it created a cash flow shortage for me in the month of January. And I covered everything, but it scared me, is I think really where I was going with this, is I got very, very scared because I thought, oh my gosh, I've made this huge mistake.
So the lesson learned was, and in the first month, we didn't have any really promotions of our own going out because we just finished December deals. And so January is an affiliate promotion month until we had our own promotion going out in February. And so what you learned in this was it's not just important to sell somebody else's product. It's important to know when you're going to get paid by that other product.
Right.
So that you can manage cash. Managing cash is a huge part of the business. Mm-hmm. And so it's a huge part of any business. So Jen, we got a ton of people on here still, and I'm looking at the names on here, and about half the people here are Insiders Club members. If you are not an Insiders Club member, type no in the chat box, if you would. Just give me no in the chat box if you are not an Insiders Club member. And if you are an Insiders Club member, tell us what you liked about the Insiders Club. The Insiders Club has just been the best thing ever for our business because it creates real relationships. But people get a ton of training, get a ton of software, a ton of everything. So it's been really an exciting thing to build, but it's been the core of the business. And it's the reason that we were able to actually build an asset that we could sell.
So, well, and it's also the area where we also are incredibly transparent and actually show you how.
Yep.
I mean, you know, last meeting, you weren't there. It was a meeting either 2 weeks ago or a week ago. I mean, I was going through and showing how to use, I was showing my revenue projection spreadsheets and how I create them and how, you know, and sharing them with everybody so they can create their own. Being that kind, that is the transparency that we have always offered in this business and will continue to offer in this business with me as the CEO and president. Okay.
So you're looking at the link there for the Insiders Club. You can type that in the chat box, Jen. If you're not an Insiders Club member, and thank you for everything here, all you guys are saying. Mark says, love Be Realtor in the trainings. Love down to earth training, active advice, products, and the people. Judy says that. Super supportive and lots of info. Jim says that. There is nowhere else on the web in any business site where I have the relationship and feeling of brutal honesty with any other biz development company. That's Patricia. Janet says, I love the weekly meeting, so much information. Paul says, where to start? The most authentic and valuable IM resource I've ever been a part of. Ed says exactly this. We get inside information on running a business as well as the library training. Leslie says, I love all the products, tools, trainings. I love the weekly mastermind. It's been the longest community I've ever been a part of. Linda says, the only thing I don't like about the Insiders Club, leave it there, Linda, is that I wasn't smart enough to take full advantage of many years ago. There's nothing as wonderful as NAMS for business. Thank you, Linda. Honest and real knowledge shared from Ruthann. Great webinar from Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan. Okay, so Jen.
Oh, I was going to talk a little bit about the Insiders Club.
Go ahead.
So one of the big changes that I'm making as the new owner of the company is that on March the 1st, we are closing the members, let me start that over. We are closing the Insiders Club for new members. This is kind of a strategic marketing plan that my business coach and I have developed, and we will be reopening it periodically each year, but it is not going to be open all the time. The reason for that is that we're in the process of completely rebuilding the membership. And so our goal is first off is to have as many, we have over 1,000 members now. We want to have as many members as possible in there so that we are testing and really putting the new platform in front of you first, so that you have an opportunity to use it, to give us feedback. And the new platform is going to be a university style driven platform. It's going to be, and of course you can access any product you want at any time while you're in there, but we're going back to the good old NAMS days, which Dad created many, many years ago, which was that NAMS 100, 200, 300, and 400. And so it's very much university style. You're going to progress. You will progress through each level. And we're doing that with a series of interactive questions, checklists, to be able to help you move step-by-step through each process that you need to be focused on in your business. You know, we have a lot of new business owners in our community. And a lot of times they just don't know where to start. There's so much to do. And so the new platform that we're developing is helping you to do exactly that, knowing what step to take, when to take it, getting it done. And the only people, the way that the platform is going to work is that the only people that get all of the training that is associated with each one of those checklists and the deeper training is if you're a member. You won't be able to just go buy a product out of our catalog, because I'm also pulling all but 10 to 15, I haven't gotten the exact number down yet, 10 to 15 of all of our products are being moved into the membership only. They will not be available for individual sale. So now is a really good time for you to get in. The link on the screen is giving you the platinum version of the membership, which is a one-time payment. The monthly and the annual are going to be available through the end of this month. The platinum will no longer be available, especially at this price. And so if this is something that you're interested in, this is a great time to do it. This shopping cart is set up so that you can do PayPal credit if you need to. You can use your Warrior Plus balance. You can use credit card, PayPal, whichever, the way that the platform is set up to purchase this through. This is really going to be an exclusive club where you're going to get a whole lot of information and you're going to get a whole lot of training and tools that are not going to be available to the general public. So you got anything else you want to say there, Deb?
No, I want to ask a question. What's this training valuable for you guys? This is a really bit, this is off the beaten path of what we usually do. This was not how to do keyword research or any of that kind of stuff. If this was valuable for you, let me know. I'm really interested.
Yep. And if you're already an Insiders Club member, nothing is going to change for you. You're going to get everything. We're putting everything behind the Insiders Club wall, essentially. And so all of our old members, like I said, there is nothing that's going to change. With your price won't change. Nothing will change. It's just going to be that we're going to close new access down. And when we reopen it, it's going to be the relaunch of the new membership and with some different prices.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, guys. Really appreciate you being here today.
Oh, great. Mark did say he's building his business to ultimately pass down to his son. This is fantastic. Oh, gosh, you guys, these comments are incredible. Thank you so much. I'm reading through just to make sure we don't have any other questions. You guys are so sweet. Say all these great, nice things about us. Great. All right, you guys, I think we're good. If you have any questions at all, just let me know. You can hit us up in the support desk. And I just can't wait to see any of you or all of you on our weekly live calls. Talk to you soon.
Back to retirement. Bye-bye.